Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey guys, I want to welcome you to what we have decided to call More Than That, where we are looking at what we are studying as a church. Like right now, we're going through Exodus. And like Paul always says, for example, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, where he says more and more, or sometimes he would say more than that. We just want to be able to kind of discuss some things that that we believe are very important for this sermon series that sometimes just do not fit on a Sunday morning, so that we can be able to enrich our church in terms of growing even more and more. So so my name is Raphael
Gusper,
and he's our associate pastor here, and he preached on Sunday morning. But Gus, what you guys don't know is also the fact that Gus, he is the one who really helps write most of the liturgies that we have here when it comes to our confession, our call to worship, and all those things. And he's done an excellent job in that, because that is one of the most special times at City Church. And so, so this time we're doing something a little bit different. And so I thought it would be very important for you guys to kind of walk us through our confession, just that, like what we do on a Sunday morning, which is what we did for our postures series through the Beatitudes, but we've brought it back. So can you just walk us through some of the...
Yeah, so the whole idea is that how often our body reflects what's going on inside our hearts. Also, our heart, our postures, our bodies can influence our hearts. So by purposefully putting our bodies in certain positions, we're able to reflect, to influence, to reveal how our heart is behaving, how it feels. Kind of, you know, some postures posture our hearts in a way that shows reverence to God, shows humility towards God, shows honor to God. And so by having postures of freedom, you know, we are free to have these expressions before the throne of God, and it's really a good way of showing, you know, who God is to us.
That's
and
good.
How his how we trust him, and how we are able to be open to him, and how we honor him. Over and over, our posture can show those things and can also influence our heart.
Yeah, what I like about them and is the fact that, like, they take the ordinary and get to show how the ordinary is something amazing. Like, when we start reading, like, for example, you read Romans chapter 5, that's going to say you stand in grace. You know, like, when you're getting to see, like, even you touched on sitting, like, just, you know, Christ is seated, and that we are seated in the heavenlies, like, in the heavenlies besides Christ. We do those things every single day, but we just don't see them as things that remind us of greater realities. And so I just love that, because it also just helps people. We have always tried to simplify and, like, it just kind of almost limit how we experience God. But these postures are also able, like, we're able to almost, like, love God even with our own bodies on a Sunday morning. So,
yeah. Yeah, worshiping him with our whole self, not just our voice or head or Yeah, also worshiping with our bodies, yeah.
Yeah, so what would you say, like, because like, for somebody else who comes in and they just think, what on earth did I just walk into, you know, what on earth did I just walk into? Or somebody else who's walking and saying, I just don't want to attend a Catholic church. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things where, which is what I really, really, like, have celebrated. But just, like, our church and the fact that, like, we're still looking and we're seeing things that belong to Christendom. Mm-hmm. But then they've been accentuated by different groups. Mm-hmm. That, like, have become, but they're the gifts of us all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm answering my question, but, like, I don't know. What would you say to somebody who's like, I just don't know. I'm not comfortable with that.
Well, I would say it's okay. Like,
yeah,
they're postures of freedom, not, you know, postures of slavery.
Okay,
you know?
That's good.
So
yeah,
if they're not comfortable, you know, doing the open hands of faith, it's okay. You know, if they're not comfortable sitting down for the assurance of pardon, that's okay. You know, we would want the same respect and grace, you know.
That's good.
So give it time, but you
try
also,
it out.
Yeah. Or not if you don't want to.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. 'Cause it, you know, what I love is the fact that, you know, and you've always said this, that, like, hey, if you're not comfortable with this, don't do it. Mm-hmm. But then there's also other people that really need that.
Yeah.
That need that as they sit down and they rest. Mm-hmm. They really then get to remember that, like, man, I'm resting in the promises of God. And as they open their arms, they get to, like, just people that are going through just, like, the rough life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, somebody told me, somebody who was just, who's really struggled a lot with you know, addiction. And since we're part of this, in our community, that's one of our biggest struggles. And they basically just told me that, like, that is so helpful in driving more of God's truth inside my heart, especially when I've come outside from outside where I've heard nothing but you're a failure, you're this, you're that. So yeah, that's good. If anything, let's kind of maybe just jump on to how important is that?
Well, lament, I think, is, I mean, you guys pick on me sometimes how much I emphasize lament, but for me, it is a very neglected part of Christianity, how, you know, over a third of the Psalms are lament, but if you were to look at, you know, a majority of a hymnal or, you know, you turn on the radio, how many songs are lament style, it's
a few.
It's definitely not a third. And so for me, seeing the struggles in our community, seeing the struggles of people who come into our church, it's the answer between God's goodness and their reality.
That's good.
And so you know, how do we communicate God's goodness to them in light of their experiences?
That's good.
And a lot of that is lament, that God, you can take that to God. He is able to bear your anger, your fears, your frustration, and it's okay.
Yeah.
And more than that, he wants you to.
Yeah.
There are lots of times in the Bible where there is such raw emotion towards God.
Mm.
And the fact that it's in the Bible is, like, is giving you license to also share in that, to have your own lament in towards God, expressing those feelings.
That's good. Yeah, I was thinking about, know, one of the books that we have out there by an author called Chuck DeGroote, he says this, and for me, I just kind of celebrated that. He says, for many, for the most part, North American Christianity lacks a theology of suffering. Mm-hmm. We major in praise songs and minor in lament, like you just said. When is the last time your church engaged in a corporate act of grieving? Instead, a kind of hallowed optimism dominates, and many churches seem to grow because of their capacity to help people feel better about themselves. Yet scripture unapologetically embraces the full range of human emotional experience, as the Old Testament scholar Brueggemann says, at best, Israel knew how to trust God in the midst of deep pain. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that, like, you then were able to kind of walk through that. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so thank you so much for that. That's a very good thing. And then so we go through the assurance of pardon. Mm-hmm. And then after that, obviously, the blessed hope. You know, sometimes it just feels like we're repeating the same things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why is that important? Like, I will tell you this, like, you know, like, why is that important? And I'm going to give my two cents on it. Yeah.
Well, there's a few reasons, but the main ones are, you know, our assurance doesn't change.
Yeah.
You know, it's always in Christ. Our blessed hope doesn't change. It's always looking forward to the second coming of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because they don't change. It's having the same thing every Sunday also communicates that these don't change.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
It can be a comfort to some. It can be a reminder, a constant reminder that, you know, it's drumming it into you over and over so that, you know, your assurance is sure.
Yeah.
You know, your hope is coming. So that you don't forget it over and over every Sunday. It's because it's easy to doubt.
Yeah.
It's easy to forget. And so that's why it's important to do it every Sunday.
Hmm. We are people that are so prone to wander.
Yep.
And people that are so prone to forgetting. And so it's very important to remind ourselves every single week what we have. And then also, like for me, like there's sometimes when I'm just enveloped by grief. And I found myself, like, by the time we get to the assurance, when we get to the blessed hope, I'm just like, yes, at least there is something to look forward to. There's going to be a day when death is no more, when suffering is no more, and I think that needs to become a staple food for Christians as believers every single week, of just be reminded. Like one of my friends, Isaac Adams, he posts this on Twitter every single week. Every single day. No, every single day. Every day he posts this, Christian, we're one day closer to Jesus coming. Every single day. And that's, it's awesome. Always one of those things where it's like, at first I used to be like, oh man, but then I realized that, like, that's also just that's a blessed hope, the inheritance of Christians, where we don't have to be eschatologically charged or whatever it is. We just need to live, just always being reminded that, like, what we're seeing around us doesn't have a final say. That God does have a final say. So. Anyway, let's change gears for a little bit. There's just one thing that I just loved from your sermon this last Sunday.
Only one?
Not just only one. But I thought there was something also. City Church is just known to, we have a ton of kids.
Mm-hmm.
You touched on something that I think every parent probably needs to kind of see. You know, you talked about Moses' mother, and you talked about, like, man, like, kind of just peeked into, like, if she had just the limited time with her son, and he was raising Moses, like, what would that have looked like? Obviously, that means that Moses' dad was in the picture too, somewhere there. Like, they had just this one shot. And you kind of just say, man, like, they gave it their all in a way that, like, so when we see Moses respond in that way, then we know that these are seeds that had been planted. Like, I think that's also a mirror of, like, what parenting is like. We kind of look down on, like, just the time we have right now. But at the same time, real talk, we are just exactly like where those parents were. We give them out to college. We give them out to... What would be your advice for parents in that way? I felt like you wanted to dive deep a little bit more into that, but, like, you know,
Well, I mean, our hope and their hope is in Christ.
Yeah.
So there's no pressure, but there's pressure. So, and God gives us so many opportunities and he uses us in so many ways. So we are given this privilege of taking part in the discipleship of our children.
Yeah.
And in the same way that Jochebed had, you know, this opportunity, she knew what was going to happen to Moses.
Yeah.
She knew where he was heading and the influences that could be pressing in on his life. So what did she do with it? And she took it seriously. I mean, I think what Moses' actions in verse 13 show that, like, he knew what God was supposed to be doing and he just got impatient.
That's good.
I mean, we're not arguing right or wrong, but we know like that he knew who God was supposed to be for the Israelites. He knew what his mom had told him in his adolescent years growing up. And so he was going to make, you know, a stand of this is who we are.
Yeah.
And we are not, you know, we are not slaves anymore. We're not slaves to you. And that's what happened in verse 13.
That's good. That's good. It just, for me, it just elevated the reason why every single believer needs to, every parent, and not only just parent. And then it kind of was pretty cool. It was pretty cool that you were up there wearing foster, adopt, mentor. I don't know what else you were like. Like, it's just like advocate. It's just one of those things where it's like, okay, guys, we have a window as a church. And that window as a church that we have is to either, like, whether it's your own kids, whether it's actually like, we look at that as volunteering. We need to move that as a, like, man, like, we are planting, we're making eternal impressions on kids, even at church, right? Like, when, because there's some of the kids are coming from, like, single parent homes, or some of them don't have parents, whether it's foster care and adoption, whether it's big brother, big sister, whether it's whatever it is, we need to actually then really just, like, you know, it's easy to look at society and be able to say, well, he should have done that, or he should have done that, and all that. For me, especially even right now, when we're looking at communities, like, where there's unrest or there's this, this, and that, I always get to ask, where are the older people and the parent-like figures, or the nurse, you know what I mean? Like, the Jochebeds who are investing in such a way that their kids actually don't forget their purpose later on. So, anyway, what else? Like, is there anything in your sermon that you just wish, like, maybe you kind of drilled in on a little bit more? Or,
I really wish I could have spent more time in the reflection, in the comparison between, you know, John 4 and Exodus.
Yeah, that was good.
Because there's so much there in looking how, you know, if you're comparing, you know, the hall of faith Moses with Christ, how, you know, he was a, you know, a sign or a, an archetype kind of person in the Bible, but he wasn't it yet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Where he fell short, Jesus comes through. And, but God still used him. And I love the D.L. Moody quote. You know, Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, and then he spent 40 years learning he was a nobody. And yeah. Then God spent 40 years showing him what he can do with a nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
So by those 40 years in Midian where he was learning and accepting his place as a foreigner, you know, he really was posturing his heart in a humble way. And then that's when God comes along and is like, you know,
you are. That's
and
good.
It's so sometimes we struggle with being a nobody, but really in God's eyes we are somebody, but only with a humble heart is God able to use us.
Yeah.
So it's
good.
Yeah, it's kind of a paradox where you struggle with feeling like a nobody but somebody, and it can be tricky sometimes, but you're not a nobody in God's eyes.
That's good. That is good. And you touched quite a lot on even just, man, the leaving and the, you know, Moses is just, I like that. I like the whole idea of like where
he went out and came in.
Yeah, you know. You know, I just love at least, and then obviously you ended up talking about abuse, which is the counselor in you. Just obviously just shows up everywhere.
Sorry.
Yeah, and because it's so easy to actually like look at people like Moses and obviously like just kind of. Just like to look at them and in this and then obviously preach against them and stuff like that. But I love the way at least you came about in just really just saying, hey, as a church, how can we become an environment that actually can be able to help? Man, you touched on there, like on just like some of my biggest dreams for our church. Like I want to see people free. I want to see the church becoming an agent of freedom, and just like, and as you were kind of just talking through that, and I remember just you getting really passionate about like how the father, the prodigal invites, and that was really just like very, very powerful to me. Man, how can our church continue to posture ourselves just to be like that?
Well, it's no matter who God places in your path, no matter how much you want to pull back by stepping in. And as easy as that is to think about and maybe to say, when you put it into practice, it can be very difficult. And there is wisdom, and there's, you know, you're supposed to be shrewd sometimes, and you know, you want to keep your, I don't want to be unwise and, you know, paint with a broad brush, but there are people that God puts in our lives that we do make excuses and steer clear of, or, that we ignore or we avoid, and though it's not who we're called to be.
Yeah.
And it's only through God's grace are we able to overcome that, and are we able to, you know, I spoke about how abuse victims often, on average, they leave seven times,
yeah.
And, you know, it's often because, you know, there is a lack of grace in the world, and, you know, they run out of money and there's no more resources, so they have to go back, and they go to their family and they get you know, they run out of grace there and they have to go back. So how can we be a source that is abounding in grace?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the simple, I forget who I heard it from, but one of the simpler ways to do it is when somebody tells you a story, believe it.
Yeah.
When somebody tells you about their struggle, don't go, yeah, but what if, you know,
yeah,
or try to cast blame somewhere else. You know, hear their heart, hear their hurt, hear their pain, and believe them. And then you can move from there to, you know,
yeah,
to helping.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is so good, man. Well, man, Gus, thank you so much. We're looking forward to having more and more of these conversations every single week. And so if you're blessed by this, kind of join with us in studying this book of Exodus. If anything, man, we have so many resources that are recommended for this. So make sure that at least you get on the website and you go to our current series and you see all the things that we recommend for studying deep into Exodus. So thank you so much, guys, for joining us.
God bless.
God bless.